This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW, and joining me is Pat Riley, who is a communication strategist in the area of education. She works to get the word out about how to support children in our schools. And Pat, there are some lousy strategies and some really good ones. First, let's talk about what doesn't work.
Well, I think what doesn't work in education is talking about education with a lot of acronyms and highfalutin words that might mean something to academics at Stanford and Berkeley and other higher education institutions, but mean nothing to parents, mean nothing to assembly members, except within the concept of kind of a highfalutin term that they might want to repeat.
So when we talk about LCAP and Prop 98 and what the effect of Prop 13 is that a good message?
Well, I think that ultimately all of those conversations are about resources, and resources are best defined by bringing to life what a lack of resources means. So not having enough money to ensure that there's a librarian in every school, having California be one of the only states in the nation that doesn't have a mandatory nurse. And, you know, my orientation around public education comes from being a public school kid in the great state of New Jersey, which, as many of your listeners may be aware, is one of the top 10 states in per pupil funding. So when I was a kid, we had choir, we had a nurse, we had a nurse's station, we had music, we had two teachers in the classroom up until third grade. We had a very, very different public education experience compared to the one that I experienced when I sent my kids to Berkeley Public Schools here in California. And I think that when we strip away language that sounds intelligent but really creates more confusion, and we speak plainly about why kids matter to us, when we think about language that everyone can understand with an examples that when you shut your eyes, you can picture the change happening.
So a lot of times when we talk about the conversation about school funding in California, people always say, oh, well, California really is almost last in the nation in funding our schools. And that hasn't really pushed us very far in making changes.
No, I think my line about California is that we've been down so long, we forgot which way is up. And I think one of the things that's true is that we all share as Californians a pride in the Golden State and a sense of exceptionalism, a sense that we're trying things differently here. And with that sense of exceptionalism, we need to prioritize making our schools the best in the nation. And I think when you talk about the story of California public education and its funding, very often it gets parking lot, parked with and stopped at, well, no one can do anything about Prop 13, and oh, you know, Prop 98 just kind of like fell short, and we talk with these kind of numbered phrases instead of really talking about the very fact that here in the richest state in the nation, in the sixth largest economy of the world, we can and ought to prioritize a public education system that will be the jewel of the world. And there are so many things that are going right in California public schools, but very often those stories completely get sidetracked by this sort of, shoulder shrug, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about it now kind of attitude about funding. And I think what's also missing from that equation is that very often the people who are sort of shrugging their shoulders and saying there's not much you can do about it are not the people whose kids are not getting the same kind of educational opportunities as their middle class or upper middle class counterparts. And that's simply wrong. In a democracy, we ought to, must really prioritize an equitable way of funding our schools so that all students have an opportunity to thrive and not get sidetracked into these either policy debates that frankly lose parents halfway down the, you know, before they even convince them. They've squandered that attention.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW, and joining me is Pat Riley, who is a communications strategist. Strategist, what a word. We're trying to think of how do you move the needle so that our children and our schools get the supports that they need? What are the messages that really work? And one of the messages that people talk about a lot is that it's not just schools. It's the whole support systems for children outside of school.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think one of the things that I know from the work that our firm has done with great organizations like the Partnership for Children and Youth and the California PTA is that some of the things that the state of California has prioritized, I think, as a result of recognition that children's needs were not being met during the school year, during the school day, was create really a national model in after school and summer learning that was recognized actually by a national organization that focuses on after school as you know, California being the number one state to offer enrichment and after-school programming for its students. So I think our after-school programming and our summer learning opportunities are part of what California is doing right. And
also things around the health and welfare of children.
Yes. Yes, I think one of the things that, that you know, as a Berkeley public school parent, I can say is I think that increasingly the emphasis on the whole child, the emphasis on the importance of social emotional learning, the importance on how to imbue children with a growth mindset.
So now you've just gone into the area of what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. So let's go into, you're the strategist. Mm-hmm. Tell me a really lousy message on one of these issues, and then tell me what would work better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the favorite ways of talking about, so for example, I was one of the parents that when I sat down and heard my, you know, principal talk about, we have this emotional toolkit. I thought, oh, my eyes rolled back in my head, and I thought, here we go. And when I actually, as a parent, started using this toolkit, it was, here are some simple ways that are kid-friendly for kids to understand how to communicate about their feelings, how to process feelings of anger, feelings of frustration. Here are simple, easy to follow tips, so easy and so simple that they can be pinned to the front of your refrigerator, for example, on what to do when you're feeling or how to communicate appropriately and effectively when you're feeling like you need some personal space, how to communicate effectively and get over and move on past an altercation with another kid. And initially, this toolbox kind of approach was focused on particularly on bridging the gap with my understanding of it. It was particularly focused on disadvantaged families. And In fact, when we started using it in our house, it was really helpful for everyone.
So the message that you're saying is when you use something like, oh, we're going to give you a toolbox on social emotional learning, what you're really saying is we're going to give you some simple things you can do to help your child. Mm-hmm. And so let's take this to like the elephant in the room. And we started out talking about how to support our children and our schools. What would be a great message for people to think about as we go forward? Because our schools still don't have that librarian. They don't have the counselor. They don't have the school nurse. They don't have some health services after school. What's the message that will really make people sit up and say, oh, now I understand it?
Mm-hmm. I think the message that I like to convey is one of strength and power, which is California is the home to so much incredible innovation. And when you look at the history of who California public schools, who graduated from California public schools, it's a pretty extraordinary story of, as I like to say, California All-Stars. And so many of those people, from Supreme Court justices to members of Congress to authors, benefited from what was described as the jewel, the crown jewel, right, of the public education system in the United States. This incredible public school system that was meeting every student where they needed to be, giving them not only the academics but the enriching activities like music and arts and theater, and this all to a melting pot of different ethnicities and different groups and different economic levels. So we were there. And we are despite the fact that our schools are not funded to the degree that they need to be, there are so many extraordinary public schools in the state of California. There are so many extraordinary teachers who are trying to do so, who are doing great work here, that we are so close to really stepping up to our full power as the Golden State, and recognizing that so many of our fate is intertwined with who we're bringing up in the K-12 system. And I think that when we look towards how do we keep the California, dream moving forward, it's by fully supporting our public schools. And that means prioritizing them. And that means prioritizing them in front of more than roads. It means prioritizing them above increasing the number of prison guards that the state supports. It means really prioritizing what's important to kids.
I'd really like to thank Pat Riley for joining me, talking about communication strategies and talking about what is a good message to make sure our kids get what they need in their communities and in their schools. This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW.